All right, Romans chapter 1, and this is a famous chapter in the Bible. This is a famous text, and can be a challenging text, especially with the cultural norms that we live with today. Our culture is a little bit crazy. Amen? And we're going to talk about a crazy culture back in Rome. The wrath, everybody say wrath. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. That pretty clear there? For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Amen. Amen? Lord, we thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of the challenges that beset us, Lord, with the floods in Houston, Lord, with the hurricane in Florida, with the fires in L.A. and Northern California and across the West, Lord, with the earthquake in Mexico and the floods in Indonesia, Lord, our world does indeed seem to be collapsing. But Lord, this comes as no surprise to you, because you indeed said it would start collapsing and this would be the beginnings, the birth pains, that there would be wars and rumors of wars. We have a crazy man who has his hand on a nuclear weapon in North Korea, Lord. It's crazy. And through all that craziness, Lord, we peer through it all to try to see your glory, to try to grab onto something that is going to last. And we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Title of today's message, Something is Broken. And we had something broken downstairs. Our freezer. We got, for those of you who are new to us today, we got barbecue afterward. And many years ago, I'm thinking 5 or 6 years ago now, I got this grill from the Red Oak Barbecue, went out of business over there in La Mesa. And at that same auction, I scored our double-door commercial freezer for $10. It froze food. Can I get a witness? That's what freezer's supposed to do, right? But there was a problem. It was broken. And it was broken in what? That you would open the doors and you would see icicles dripping down from the top of the freezer. Dana's gone? George, you're here, right? Can I get a witness on that? Icicles, right? And there would even be, there was in the middle of the thing, and I don't know what you call an icicle that moves from the bottom up, but it's something else, like a stalactite or whatever, I don't know. But there was this pillar of ice that would grow up in the middle of that freezer, sometimes be this high and that big around. And it was a display, even though the freezer would freeze the food, something was broken. Amen? Today we read about the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is a sign to man, is a sign to us that indeed something is broken. Can I get a witness on that? We are on this series called The Road to Righteousness. And Paul is dealing with a culture in which things are broken. And so he talks about this road to righteousness. And I want to let you know this morning that indeed that road is steep. Amen? Amen. Have you found it to be steep? Anybody know the Lord? Amen. Walking with the Lord. That road is steep. And in addition to being just steep, it is long. Amen? But it is straight. And Jesus opens the door to that road, and the Father sits at the finish line, and the Holy Spirit guides us along. Amen? And we start broken, and we move toward healing. And I want to let you know this morning that our healing is a process. Amen? We'll take a look at something being broken on the road to righteousness. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to talk about being an enemy of God, and I want to let you know that enemies don't get the glory. Enemies don't get the glory. Thank you. Therefore. Now, therefore means what? Therefore, all the stuff that came before. So you can kind of rewind and take a look at that later. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast, and that word we celebrate in the hope of the glory of God. And I want to let you know this morning that your faith is going to take you where you want to go. Amen? If you don't have faith, you're not going down that road to righteousness. You are not going any place that you want to end up, and you don't even know where you are going. Amen? Starts out with faith. Faith. Let me tell you what faith is. An inward trust, reliance, or confidence in God. This confidence gives us a connection with Christ in which we are transformed. That connection involves a commitment to Him, which Aaron was talking about earlier, that he felt in his life as God said, follow me, and Job felt in his life as he remained committed and connected to God. Amen? As you are committed to Christ, as you are committed to God, there is a change that happens, that we are no longer objects of wrath, but we become objects of grace. As objects of grace, we are able to move into the kindness and goodness of God. Amen? That is kind of like the opposite of wrath, because you don't want to live as an enemy of God. Amen? Now, he talks about this justification, and we talked about that last Wednesday night. If you were here, you know what I'm talking about. If not, should have been here on Wednesday. Justification means something very close to just as if I never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. See, sinners live as the enemies of God and are targets of His wrath. He pours out His wrath on them. And He pours out His wrath. We are enemies of God because of the choices that we make. Bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. Can you relate? And so God pours out His wrath so you can understand how bad your choices have become. And this is a loving act, because you don't want to just keep on going down the road that leads you where you don't want to go. Amen? When we're justified, we are no longer enemies of God, but we become His friends. We move into the kindness and mercy of God. It is Christ's work on the cross. It is Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' blood that is shed for us that gives us access to God. It is as if Jesus cracks open the door to the kingdom. And it is one day going to be swinging wide. Amen? But as he cracks open that door, we can catch a glimpse of God's glory, and we can reach through all the struggles of our lives and reach through and try and grab onto that glory and grab onto Christ and be transformed. Amen? Justification from faith. Let's keep on going here. Verses 3 through 5, Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Wait a minute. Now, that word glory there is that same word. It's not the same word of the glory of God, right? But it means to celebrate. And so he says that we celebrate in our sufferings. Let me read that again. Not only so, but we also celebrate in our sufferings. Amen. All right, that's a couple. All right, let me try again, okay? Not only so, but we also celebrate in our sufferings. Ah, yes, there we go. All right, because we want to be biblical. Amen? All right. So we celebrate in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Anybody else come out of shame in their life? I sure did. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Life's challenges give opportunities for growth. Paul specs out our path of growth: suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. And this word suffering carries with it the meaning of pressure, that we live under pressure. Anybody have any pressure this week? You know what I'm talking about. And that pressure that we live under, it attempts to get us to turn away, to give up on our journey towards God, and to give up and never reach our hope. Never be put to shame. Where there is no suffering, there is no hope. There's a lot of people who hope there is no suffering. Right? I'm hoping. If there's no suffering, there's no change. If there's no change, there is no glory. That is why we celebrate our suffering. Because our sufferings move us along the road to healing. And our healing is a process. Take your whole life. Amen? Jesus opens the door to God's love. But the Holy Spirit makes the delivery. My question for you this morning is, how much love do you have in your home? See, God's wrath is poured out upon sinners so that they can understand their sin. God's discipline is poured out on believers to move them down the road of righteousness. That pressure that we live under is intended to cause us and to help us to grab on to Christ. Amen? Amen. Our healing is a process. You can take 100 steps. Take 1,000 steps. I hope you're stepping. Amen? I got a story to tell you this morning of a Michigan couple, Nick and Carrie DeClean. I'm sure I'm messing up that last name. Carrie was diagnosed with brain cancer this past April. 2 weeks later, they discovered she was pregnant. She was slated for chemotherapy to deal with her brain cancer, but the chemotherapy would kill her child. How's that for pressure? How's that for pressure? She decided to forego the chemotherapy for the life of her child. diagnosed in April, went into coma in July, has been on a feeding tube since July, gave birth through emergency C-section to her daughter this week, born at 25 weeks, 4 days, 1 pound, 4 ounces. After the birth of her child, she was taken off the feeding tube and died 3 days later. As she was dying, her husband, Nick, says to her, "I'll see you in heaven." Baby's name was Life Lynn. How's that for pressure? I just got to take a moment because I need you guys to be able to take a breath to continue on. Healing is a process. Take your whole life to move into that. But as you move and as you get stronger in the Lord, you're able to make choices like this. Amen? Because we're going to live forever. What's that song say? We'll be there for 10,000 years. It's only just begun. And she'll be celebrating with Life Lynn. Hallelujah. All right. That is a picture of her. Let me just give you that picture. That's a picture of her and her husband. It's an older picture. They have six other children. Yeah. All right. Things are broken, amen? God makes things right. Romans 5, 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, anybody happy about that part? At just the right time. Amen? When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. The cross is a display of God's love. Amen? God starts off everything when we are at our most needy. We were powerless. We were dying in our sin. We were the enemies of God. We were making poor choice after poor choice after poor choice and had no way to accept a rescue. We were at our worst point. Think of the timing, the definition. Right before you accepted Christ, you were at your worst point in your life. You're at your dirtiest point, your most sinful point in your life. And it is at that point when Jesus steps in and cracks open that door to the road to righteousness. Amen? Pressure of our lives moves us farther and farther and farther from God, and Jesus comes in and points us to the road. He makes the ultimate sacrifice for sinners, for his enemies. And Paul lines this out for us. He says, you know, no one's going to die for a righteous man. And you go, why is that? Well, often you think about righteous people, they can be a little bit distant. They can be a little bit judgmental. Can I get a witness on that? But you think about a good person, kind, merciful, loving, like my wife. My wife, right? She's a good person. They might die for Lisa. Oh, I'm dying for Pastor Bob. Man, he's kind of out there. But no one dies for their enemies. No one dies for their enemies. And this is the ultimate display of God's love for us, that he dies for us when we are his enemies. We are bound up in disobedience with no way to get out. Result, bad choices. Jesus comes as our healer. And our healing is a process. Amen? All right, let's continue going. Romans 5, 9 through 11. Since we now have been justified, we talk about just as if I never sinned, by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast. There's that boast. We also celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Everything was broken. Everything was broken. Does not get worse, much worse than being the enemy of God. How are you possibly going to win when God is your enemy? How often does God lose? God never loses. Amen? You cannot win being God's enemy. We're God's enemy because of our choices. Because of our choices, we have a problem. Jesus comes, fix our problem. Jesus comes and reconciles. His sacrifice reconciles us back with God. Instead of being God's enemies, now we are God's friend. We are transformed in our position, and now we can have hope in God's glory. God's wrath and discipline are acts of his love. Get us back on track. If he didn't love us, he could just let us go. Maybe you'll get here. Nobody has, but you might. I'll see you at the finish line and just wait. For anybody who, you know, maybe Billy Graham, you see him down a couple miles back. You know, Mother Teresa, oh, didn't make it. Only got one so far. Jesus, the only one who did. He could just keep his hands off. But because of his love, he says, no. Let me have some ramifications be in your life because of your poor choices. Anybody had any ramifications from poor choices recently? Amen? Yeah. And we don't make the greatest choice. He gives you a little discipline, right? And that discipline, like to a child, right, gets them on track. Because if you don't discipline your child, you're going to have a great, fine, and wonderful child. You know, that's what they tell you in our culture. You just let your child go, and that child loves you and love everybody around you. He's just going to be so pleasant. I have not found that to be true. Scoreboard. God doesn't treat us like that. God turns us over to sin, and sin has its own penalty. Amen? Pours out his wrath. How much love you got in your house? I hope you aren't letting your kid run wild. Because if you do, you'll see it in how your kid responds to his teachers, authority figures, and you. And you're thinking, wait, it was supposed to be so good. But it's not. That's why God loves us. Things are broken. Everything was broken. On Friday, Mike Hinson, sitting back over there, usher rope position, he replaced the freezer drain pan heating element. And fit that in my head. Well, what happens in the freezer is the compressor works, water condensates on it, and drips down into this pan, and because it's a freezer, it turns into ice. Now, what happens in the defrost cycle is the heating element heats up that ice, turns into water, it flows out, and that water just evaporates. And that's how the freezer is supposed to work. Our freezer wasn't working like that. And so in the defrost cycle, nothing would happen. There'd be more water, more ice, more water, more ice, overflow the tray, and then we'd have giant icicles forming all over our food. The freezer was doing its job. It was freezing, but it was broken. So Mike put that heating element in. We turned it off. There's no more ice in it, all that kind of stuff. And looked at it the next day, no icicles. Hallelujah. Came in this morning, no ice. That baby is sitting right at 0 degrees, ready to have food put back in it, ready to get back doing its job. You tracking with me? See, Jesus comes and justifies us, puts us in right relationship with God so that we can continue on doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? That we're supposed to be moving down that road to righteousness, moving towards God's glory and proclaiming him around to the people around us. Amen? Amen? We doing okay? All right, road to righteousness, it's steep. All right, let's see what else we got going on. God's gift guides us to glory. There's glory coming at the end of the road. Amen? You know, you hit that finish line, you hit that ribbon. I haven't hit many of those ribbons, but I'll tell you what, I'm looking for that ribbon when I hear the trumpet call. Amen? Therefore, just as sin entered through the word, through the world, just as sin entered the world through one man. You know who that is? And death through sin. And in this way, death came to everyone because of all sin. And there's a dash there. It's like a parenthetical. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. This is a technical thing here. But sin was not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. We're going to talk about that. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is the pattern of the one to come. Our problem is sin. Have you found that out? You got to get by sin, and you aren't going to be able to get by it on your own. Sin entered the world through the one man, Adam, Genesis chapter 3. It was not a mistake. It wasn't a whoops. You know, I'll tell you what, you're on a diet, you blow that diet, it's like, whoops, I don't even know how that pizza got into my stomach. No. You control that hand, you control them jaws, you know, you're chewing, you're swallowing, all along the way. You know what you're, Adam knew what he was doing when he was eating that fruit. Eve was putting him on, but he was the one. He made his choice. And because of that choice, sin entered him, death entered the world. And like through a genetic defect, we all have received that sin gene. Okay? Got that? Adam sinned. Everybody from Adam gets sin. Okay? Got it? Everyone experiences the consequences of that sin, which is death. Now, he talks about the law, okay? He said, there was no law before Moses, but everybody was sinning from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even though there was no law, even though there was no infraction. So guys, people, humans, were just making choices they didn't know were bad. But they were experiencing the consequences of their choices, which was death. Sin was killing them, and they didn't even know about sin. It was like the silent killer. But is high blood pressure, is that the silent killer, or heart disease, or... I think they got a bunch of silent killers now, but there was one I remember years ago that was the silent killer. Well, sin was the silent killer. And nobody realized what was going on. So God, in his incredible love and mercy, gives the law through Moses so that man can go, oh, that's what's going on. Because in the law was the standards of God's righteousness, the standards of God's behavior. And through the law, man became aware, I can't get there on my own. He said that there were people who sinned apart from the law. That even in Rome, the Gentiles who did not know the law of God, there was sin and there was consequences of sin. So as a further step, in addition to the law, he poured out his wrath again so that people can know, oh, it's sin that is my problem. It is sin, the reason why I am broken. Amen? See, the law lets us know that we need a rescue from sin. We need to get away. It is the wrath of God that lets us know we need a rescue. We need to get away from sin. And Jesus comes as our healer. And your healing is a process. Amen? All right, last thing we got. And it's a chunk of scripture. I put down 15 through 17 really goes through the end of the chapter here, all the way through 21. But the gift is not like the trespass. And again, we're talking a little technical here. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, we're talking about Adam, right? How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God can be compared with the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed once. This is technical, right? You're reading this going, what? The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift, we're talking about the gift of God, the sacrifice of Christ, justification, reconciliation, the gift. That's what we're talking about, that road to righteousness. Okay? But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. How many times you sinned before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ? I sinned a bunch, many trespasses. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? The gift is different from the sin. The solution is different from the problem. See, the gift of God does more than just reverse the effects of Adam's sin. The gift of God does not put us in a position of innocence like that of Adam before he sinned, but puts us in a position of righteousness. The gift does not make us like Adam. The gift makes us as righteous as Jesus. The gift is not like the trespass. It is superior to the trespass. Because of the trespass, death reigns. 100% death reign. United States, last time I checked, death reigning. But because of the gift, we reign. We are able to move from poor choice to poor choice, to good choice after good choice. We are able to move from death to healing. And your healing is a process. Take your whole life to get there. Amen? Road to righteousness. It's steep. It's long. But it's straight. And our Father sits on the finish line. We grab on to all this through faith. We catch a glimpse of God's glory by faith. And it is God's glory which ultimately provides our healing. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up? We'll close our time. Death reigns in the life of the sinner. Death reigned in my life. Death reigned in all of our lives. And Jesus comes as we are enemies of God and says, I will give you an alternative. When we hurt bad enough, when life's pressure gets bad enough, when we realize that we make poor choice after poor choice after poor choice, we can come to that point in our lives where we can say, God, it's all yours. 29 years ago, walking down the street in Sacramento, I felt that. Poor choice after poor choice after poor choice. And I was hungover and I was walking down the street in Sacramento and I just said, God, I have destroyed my life. You can have it. And in that instant, I felt the Holy Spirit come into me, and I was transformed. And the Lord Jesus Christ cracked open that door to the road of righteousness. And I got on that road, and I've been climbing ever since. Your healing is a process. I hope you're on the road. I hope you're stepping. Pressure of life gives you the opportunity to peer through all the challenges and to see that glory and to see all the garbage that is around us and just throw it off and just shrug it off and just say, God's glory, I'm moving for you. I'm moving. That's where all my hope is. That's where my future resides. That is where my focus in life is, and I don't want to do anything. Help me get there, Lord. And the Holy Spirit comes along, guides you into truth, convicts you of sin, and He empowers you to withstand the pressure of life. Amen? Lord, we come before you this morning. Healing projects, Lord. Healing projects, Lord, that you come into this room. Lord, that you give us a glimpse of glory this morning, that you give us the ability to reach out and grab on, to walk straight, to be your light, to shine your light, to run our homes, Lord, the way that glorifies you. You're here this morning, and the pressure has been great this week. Maybe that pressure is wrath. If it is wrath this morning, the Lord is speaking. He's not saying child, but he's saying enemy. He's saying, you are my enemy, but I died on the cross to adopt you into my family. If you will lay down your rebellion, if you will lay down your poor choices, if you will surrender your life, I will give you mine and welcome you in and start that healing process. You're here this morning. You're tired of that. Tired of the wrath. It hurts bad enough. And you're ready to lay it down and pick up the life of the Lord. Nobody looking around at you this morning say, oh, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I want to be rescued, Lord. I want to be saved from your wrath, Lord. I want to receive your sacrifice on the cross. Guide me into wholeness and health in my life. Don't be looking around at you. I just want you to slide your hand up. That's you this morning. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Back over here, somebody will say, that's me. Back in the back, amen. Somebody say, over here, amen, on the right. Somebody will say, that's me. I want to experience that wrath anymore. God, I want to be transformed. I want to be made new. One last shot. That's you this morning. Didn't put your hand up earlier saying, that is me. God, save me a sinner. I don't want to be your enemy anymore. Just slide your hand up quickly. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Right over here. Back over here. Amen. You're here this morning. Oh, the pressure has been big. Your eyes are on the glory. You're saying, oh, Lord, it is so tough. But, Lord, I am not letting go. I am not turning to the right. I am not turning to the left, Lord. I'm going to follow you. As hard as it gets, I'm just going to grab on tighter, Lord. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough week. Help me out, Lord. Let me be like Job, Lord. Hold on tight and experience your power. You've had an experience, especially difficult week this week. You're saying, oh, Lord, I need a little touch this morning. Lord, I need some help. Lord, I need your spirit around me, Lord, to know that I know, Lord, I'm grabbing on tight, but man, my hand is sweaty. Yes, Lord. And my grip is not as strong as it used to be. Help me, Lord. Pressure is big. That's you this morning. Slide hand up. I just want to have the Lord back here in the back. Say, Lord, say, yeah, that's me right here and here. 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 Amen. All kinds of pressure going on. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're gonna sing this morning. There are a couple more songs that we're gonna sing. If you no longer want to be an enemy of God, I need you to come right down here and to lay your life down before Him. Don't you walk back out of here, this place today, holding on.